This term, we are looking at the story of Daniel. 600 years before Christ, a group of young men were taken from their conquered homeland and put to work for the king of Babylon. It's a book which teaches us to have hope in a hostile world. So let's read from Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 28. It's found on page 1263 in the Pew Bibles. Daniel chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to kill me, to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on the earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and races of others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Daniel interprets the dream. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to them, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." Then king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come, Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in the bed are these. Then we continue from verse 46 up to the end. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely you, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Here ends the reading. Praise be to God.
Yes, thank you for reading that, Reuben. Please do keep your Bible open or open up a Bible if you can find one nearby at that passage. There's the page number up there. So you noticed we skipped a bit of the chapter during the reading because Daniel chapter 2 is quite long. So we're going to look at this chapter over a couple of weeks. This week, we're going to think about the story of the chapter. And then next week, we're going to look at what was in the king's dream itself. What was in the king's dream? Well, you'll either have to just stay in suspense for that or go and read it at home and then we'll think about it next week. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in your word. Please give us wisdom and insight into your word now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever worked for a crazy boss? I'm not talking about funny sense of humour crazy. I mean an unreasonable boss. I remember one guy I worked under. He was the head of the engine overhaul section. And if you were working in there, you'd be going around on tippy toes because you never knew when he was just going to explode. It can be really stressful working for someone like that. And it's not just the loud and angry bosses, it's also bosses who give unrealistic deadlines. In fact, they've found that unrealistic expectations is the number one cause of stress in the workplace. Crazy bosses turn up in other areas of life too. Some of you students will have experienced times of stress from unreasonable teachers. Kids, nothing frustrates kids as much as unreasonable parents. And then, of course, on a world level, there's no shortage of unreasonable dictators who are in charge of countries today. One of the things which makes our world a hostile one is that there are so many unreasonable bosses. But today's story gives us hope in our world of unreasonable bosses. What's the story about? Well, the chapter starts off by telling us about a king who is unreasonable in his demands. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king, had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. You notice it's dreams, plural. So it seems from the way the story goes that the king has had the same dream a few times. And he's sure that it means something, he just doesn't know what it means. And so he calls in the wise men who work for him to tell him what it means. See, the Babylonians had made a bit of a science out of dream interpretation, or they would have considered it a science. They had books where people had written down dreams and then compared it to what happened afterwards. And they developed this system of interpreting the symbols in dreams. And some of those Babylonian books have survived to today. So apparently they'd figured out that if you had a dream about eating a hyena, I don't know if you've ever had that dream, then it meant you were going to have a seizure. But if you had a dream about eating a beaver, then it meant there was going to be a rebellion in your country. Now, here's where King Nebuchadnezzar gets unreasonable. In verse 4, the astrologers say, "Tell us the dream and we will interpret it." Verse 5, the king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I've firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble." Now, I don't know, can anyone here tell me what I dreamed last night? I think, no, it would be unreasonable to ask you to do that. And the punishment, cut into pieces, houses destroyed. In one of the other Bible versions, it says, "I will make your houses a dunghill." You thought your boss was crazy. What's going on here? Is it, what do we make of King Nebuchadnezzar? I'm not, from a kind of psychological point of view, is it an all-powerful king just having a tantrum and being irrational because he just has to be in control, he just has to know what's going to happen in the future? Or is it cunning politics? Is it like a deliberate purge to get rid of this class of wise men who might be rivals to his throne? I'm not quite sure which, maybe a mixture of both. But either way, innocent people will die if his demands are not met. Which brings us to the second feature of this story. Not only is it a story of a king who is unreasonable, it's a story of wise men who are just unable to do what the king asks of them. I mean, they've been trained to interpret dreams. They've got their dream interpretation certificate. But there's nothing in their training that can help them figure out what the king's dream actually was, unless he tells them. They recognize that their religion, like most man-made religions, it's an attempt to interpret the world that we see around us, but it didn't let them see into the hidden things of the present or of the future. And so have a look at verse 10. There's no one on earth who can do what the king asks. I think they're just getting a bit at this point. "No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." They're saying, "King, you are being unreasonable. You're asking us to do something that is way above our pay scale. You don't need a wise man, you need a god, and like, where are you going to find one of them?" Here's a practical tip. If you have an unreasonable boss, your initial reaction might be to get angry and say, "I'm going to challenge them face to face." And as much as you might feel within your rights to do that, with some people that will just make things worse. Because people like King Nebuchadnezzar don't respond well to having their authority challenged. Verse 12, "This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon." And so, after describing a king who is unreasonable, wise men who are unable to do what he asks, the story turns to Daniel, who is unequaled in his wisdom and insight. See, Daniel and his friends that we met last week, remember, they were part of this group of wise men. They were included in the group that are facing death. But Daniel acts wisely. Instead of going and challenging the king, verse 16, he goes to the king and he says, "Okay, let me see what I can do, but I need more time." It's interesting. Back in verse 8, King Nebuchadnezzar refused to give the other wise men any more time. But for Daniel, he seems okay with it. I read an article published on Business Insider, which was about managing unrealistic expectations at work. And one of the tips they give is, don't whinge about why you can't meet expectations. ask for what you need to meet those expectations. And of course, it makes a big difference how you ask. There's a big difference between saying to your boss, well, I'm going on leave next week, whether you like it or not, and saying, hey, something's come up. I wish I'd known about it ahead of time, but it would be so good if I could have a few days off next week to deal with it. One is actually far more likely to be successful than the other. So Daniel is wise enough to ask in a way that the king will accept. And one of the reasons Daniel's able to do this is because he's calm. He's not panicked about this serious situation, because he knows that what the king asks for is not within his power, but is within God's power. And Daniel trusts this God. He knows this God. He realizes there is no need to panic, but he does tell his friends to pray urgently to God. And that night, God reveals exactly what Daniel needs to know. We get down to verses 20 down to 23. It's a poem that Daniel writes, which highlights what he knows about God. And we see that, okay, on the one hand, you've got the wise men of Babylon who are conscious their gods can't do anything to help them. But Daniel's God is all-powerful, is all-knowing, he's the source of all wisdom, and he's given that wisdom to Daniel. Now, of course, this is not just a gripping story. This is God's word. God is speaking to us in this story. God is teaching us to trust him. And so I wonder what the take-home message is. Is it that, okay, we should be wise and faithful like Daniel? That when we face unreasonable expectations, let's not panic, let's instead pray. Well, yes, of course, you can't read that without thinking, without being reminded. Yes, we need to be wise, we need to be faithful, we need to pray. This story reminds us of all of those things. But if the purpose of this story is to teach us to be like Daniel, then I wonder why it's been written in the way that it has. Because it's interesting, there's actually, in this chapter, there's actually no mention of Daniel actually praying. I'm guessing that Daniel did pray, like he seems a prayerful kind of a guy. But in verse 16, it says he asks his friends to pray, but it doesn't actually say anywhere Daniel prayed. Secondly, Daniel refuses to make himself the hero of the story. He insists on making God the hero. See, when he stands in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king says, well, Daniel, are you able to tell me my dream? And Daniel says, nope, I can't. Look at verse 27. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He's saying, God's the hero, not me. And the third difficulty about trying to be like Daniel is that Daniel's not really described as an average kind of a guy. Daniel is an unusually high achiever. Daniel is the wisest of the wise men. Daniel has a direct line of revelation from God. Daniel always manages to say the right thing at the right time. I try to do that, but far too often I get it wrong. I go into situations and I speak trying to make it better and end up making it worse. So Daniel is actually pretty hard to copy. Now, again, if I'm struggling with an unreasonable boss, certainly I need to trust God. I need to pray to God. But do I have a reason to expect that God's going to give me a dream, a revelation that will help me through the situation? Perhaps we're not so much like Daniel. perhaps we're more like Daniel's friends, in that we face dangers that sometimes we can do nothing about. And what we need is an exceptional person like Daniel to rescue us. See, at the end of the chapter, the reason we read those last few verses of the chapter is that it shows us an amazing moment. This is after Daniel told the king what his dream was and what it means. And well, look at what it says in verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries." Just for a moment, God has used Daniel to tame the most powerful king on earth. Just for a moment, God's glory is declared and everyone is safe. And it only lasts for a moment. When we get to chapter 3, we'll see that King Nebuchadnezzar has gone back to being a psycho. But what our world desperately needs is someone who can bring back this kind of moment and make it last. How different would life be if the unreasonable bosses were brought to their knees forever? If only we had someone like Daniel to help us. If only we had someone with a direct line of communication from God, just like Daniel. If only we had someone who is the wisest of the wise, but he doesn't take that glory for himself. He gives it to God, just like Daniel did. If only we had someone who could subdue the kings of the world forever. If only we had someone who can save wise people from destruction. You notice in this story, Daniel is the savior, not just of his Jewish friends, but of all the wise men, including the Babylonian ones. He doesn't just save his friends from death, actually more than that, because of his high position, he brings his friends to reign with him. That was at the end. That was in verse 49, where he appoints his friends as administrators over the province of Babylon. If only we had someone like that. I think even more than teaching us to be like Daniel, this chapter shows us how much we need a Daniel. Of course, isn't the story of God's purposes, the story of the Bible, a story where God did send us a better Daniel? So in our story, the wise men of Babylon just throw their hands up in the air and they say, "You know what, Nebuchadnezzar, what you need is a god. And where are we going to find one of them? We're going to find them here on earth." But God did come to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's Son who took on flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's the one who took the wisdom of the Father and made it known to us, because people listened to Jesus' teaching and they said, "Wow, we've never heard anything like this." And yet, he was always determined to give glory to his Father. Jesus is the one who saves every person who is wise enough to put their trust in him. Jesus is the one who stands in heaven with all power and authority in his hands. Jesus is at work today. Many world leaders over the years have fallen on their knees before him. And for those who refuse, for those who persist in being unreasonable, Jesus is waiting to return and to subdue the kings of the earth. And on that day, he says he will even invite us to reign with him over his kingdom. If you're going to take home one thing from the story, let it be that your longing for Jesus' kingdom grows deeper. Because isn't that what our world needs? Let it be that this chapter reminds you to long and to pray for him to work in our world. Let this chapter remind you to fully lean on him as the wise one and the strong one and put your hope in him and in his return that he's promised. And then, instead of living fearful lives, we will begin living prayerful lives. Because we know that all wisdom and power belong to Jesus, and Jesus gives and shares with those who ask. As I said, I'm not going to read you King Nebuchadnezzar's dream today, but I would actually like to finish off by reading to you a little part of another dream. This one is from the New Testament. It's from the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 11. This is where one of Jesus' followers, he has a dream, he has a vision, he's given a glimpse into the moment when Jesus returns to claim his kingdom. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. This is what it says. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword. Remember that the Word of God is a double-edged sword. A sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, who has conquered death, who is enthroned as King of the world. Father, please enable us to trust him. Please teach us not to fear, but to hope in him. Please make us wise. We need wisdom. We need his wisdom. Please teach us to live with hope amid all the struggles and the challenges and the dangers of our world today. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.